In fact, Mon, I think, would have been able to do this as well, as she's had to listen to this twice before and has to endure another message. Mon, it's just good to have you around. So thank you for sitting through all three services, but also talking and sharing. It's great to have you here. We are, of course, continuing our series through the book of Galatians, as Dave mentioned before, and we have been reading chapter by chapter. So even if you don't remember all the messages, at least at the end of the series, you could say that you've read through the book with us in church. That's good, and that's why we have been reading the whole chapter as well. So today is chapter 5, and as we look at chapter 5, the one word that keeps on coming up. Can you just make sure, Nick, that it's on my message slides? Because I have some pictures for you. It says Grow 5. Is it in there? I'll walk back slowly and see if I can help. As soon as I get there. I'm talking. I did some research for hours and hours and hours to get the photos, so I need to show them to you. As Mike works on them, let me start by talking about the word freedom. So it's all about freedom in this passage. Again, Paul has been writing in the whole book about freedom, the freedom we have in Christ. And just to remind you of that, what that would mean and how we started looking at this, we noticed that it's all about the essence of what we believe. And that truly sets us free to grow in our faith, if we hold on to the essence of our faith. And so we had a chat about Coke and Pepsi before, the fact that there might be different practical views on the things we believe, but the essence of what we believe really makes us one in our faith. The fact that we believe in the five colas, or five solas, of the Reformation, that it's only in one grace, only in Christ Jesus, only through Scriptures, only through faith, and only to the glory of God. And that sums up our whole faith. And that's the essence of what really makes us free, to grow. If you think about the word freedom, though, and what freedom means, because freedom is something that really comes up a lot in the times we live in. It reminded me of what's happening in Spain, Catalonia wanting independence from Spain. They want to be free from the oppression of that country. As Bruce mentioned in the prayer, a lot of people want the freedom to make their own decisions, the freedom to end their lives if they like to, the freedom to marry ever they want to. And so there's a lot of thinking about freedom and what that means to us. The first thing that jumped into my mind when I thought about freedom was, Nikki, can you go one on for me and I'll just ask you to be my clicker? Clicker, can you just go one photo? There you go. Now it's working. That came to mind when I thought of the word freedom. Now, some of the younger people might not remember this, but I could clearly hear this Scottish hero shout out in an Australian accent, "You can take away my country, but you cannot take away my freedom." In the wars of the Scots fighting for their freedom from English oppression as well. So that came to mind. There's been a lot of wars about freedom from slavery. So in the US they fought about this as well. As I mentioned today, we live in a time where this is very important too. When I grew up, this was the slogan that was in South Africa. Free Mandela, free Nelson Mandela, that's all we heard. And I mentioned to the 8:30s this morning as well that when this was happening, I was preschool, and we actually thought that, well, it started then, but we actually thought that Mandela's name was Free. We never knew it was Nelson because we just heard Free Mandela, and so that's what we thought his name was. Only later in life, as I grew up, of course, I got to know a bit more and knew what it was all about. But he wrote a book, and the book was? Close to that, A Long Walk to Freedom. And he had a long walk to freedom. But freedom was important to him as well. And so freedom certainly is important in the world that we live in, but it's also important to Paul. And so as Paul writes this letter, the whole letter to the Galatians, it's a lot about the freedom that they have as well and how they should understand that. And Paul explains in this chapter what he has mentioned before once again. I'll just touch on that because I need to, because Paul does too, that there are two threats to our freedom, and that is legalism and hedonism. Legalism is the fact that we are restricted by law itself and the laws that God gives in his word. So Paul starts in verse 1 by saying, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." And these are the yokes he's speaking about. So first, legalism. What happened in Galatia once again was the people was taught by Paul. They knew about grace. They gave their lives over to Jesus. They were mostly from a Gentile background, so they didn't have a Jewish background. And then later on, some Jews came there and led them astray by teaching them that you still had to obey certain Old Testament laws, and specifically circumcision. You had to be circumcised to be saved. So it's that whole thinking of you have to do something yourself as well to actually deserve salvation. Now, we don't regard circumcision as such a big deal today, but we still have this thought very often of, I need to do things to be saved. I need to be a good Christian. I need to give a good tithing to church. I need to be in church fairly often. I need to pray. I need to ask forgiveness for my sins or I won't be forgiven for what I've done wrong. Or I need to read the Bible. And all those things are things we should be doing, but we shouldn't be doing them thinking that that would add to our salvation. It's things we do as a consequence of the fact that we are saved. And so that's Paul's whole issue with this whole thinking that they thought that they needed to be circumcised. Circumcision was a sign that God gave his people, that they were part of his covenant people, that he wanted to have a relationship with them, that he was calling them to be his people. And so he asked Abraham and all his male descendants to be circumcised. And that was never something they had to do to be saved, but it was a sign of what was to come. It was a sign of salvation that was to come in the future for them. Paul didn't have an issue with circumcision itself. You read that in this passage as well. He says it doesn't really matter. Paul himself was circumcised. Many people in that time was still circumcised as well. The issue Paul had, as I heard this week, according to what the teenagers say, the beef that Paul had with this issue was the fact that they were prescribing that you had to do this or you wouldn't be saved at all. Paul then says, so this threatens your freedom that you have received in Christ. The other thing that threatens your freedom is also hedonism. And hedonism is the fact that you think you can do whatever you like, a free for all, whatever you desire. That's true freedom. Just do what you like. I am free to do whatever I want. And there's no consequences to that. Paul says that when we do that, we actually are enslaved because we are enslaved by our own desires. He mentions in verses 19 to 21, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you just want to do whatever you like and become enslaved by your desires, you will not inherit the kingdom of God because you are restricting once again your growth that God wants you to have and the freedom that He has brought to you in Christ. So the question begs then, what is the freedom that we have? How does that impact our lives? And Paul talks about a couple of things in this chapter. And I'm going to mention just a few, and I'll focus on the later ones more than what he mentions at the start. But the first thing Paul says in verse 13 is the fact that we are, or find our freedom in the fact that we can actually serve one another in love. Now that's a strange thing to say, that you find your freedom by serving one another in love. But it's that last word that's very important. The freedom we have in Christ actually brings us to the point where we bow before God and want to commit ourselves to Him and worship Him and love Him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. And that leads to us also then wanting to do the best for others that we can. So by living a life of serving one another in love brings us freedom in our lives as well. And Paul deals with this quite a lot. 1 Corinthians 13, for example, a great example of how Paul writes about the love that we have in Christ. But then Paul also says, and this is more what I want to focus on tonight, that we find our freedom in the way that we are led by the Spirit. Verse 16, Paul says, so I say, live, also walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. Or in verse 25, since we live or walk by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who, according to what Paul says and how he describes this, someone who teaches us the true freedom we have in Christ. How we can live a life of freedom. It's the Holy Spirit that works in our heart and makes us aware of the fact that obeying certain laws, doing certain things, will never make us right before God. Doing whatever we like will never make us right before God. And so it's the Holy Spirit that convicts us that we have to commit ourselves to God and walk and live according to what He desires. So one of the commentators, Bruce, writes about this. He says, walk by the Spirit means let your conduct be directed by the Spirit. The way of the Spirit is the way of freedom. The way of the Spirit is the way of love. So it's about this wording of walking with the Spirit. How you live with the Spirit. The fact that the things that you want to do and the things that you desire to do and the things that you actually do should then be according to what the Holy Spirit wants. Now what Paul does he, as he uses a word that can actually also be a military word, describing how, for example, a military group of people would march in sync, in step. And he's encouraging us to walk in sync with the Holy Spirit. Is this easy? Not really. And I'll show you why. So the next video clip just kind of shows that to us. How hard it can be to walk in sync. So have a look at this. It actually goes on for longer, but this is less than a minute. Oh.
不准偷小了，
被教皇吓到
了。Have you ever tried marching before? This guy's finding it tough.
放松啊！太紧张了。
Is it the left hand or the right hand? Don't know. It's hard. He's really struggling with this. And it can be fairly hard, I guess. The 8:30s this morning had a good laugh as well and kind of just shouted out, just put him at the back of the group. And that's kind of what you want to do. We all think that we're actually in sync as we march in life. And I think if we're honest, we'll say that we are more like that guy in life. We are not always in sync with what God wants and how the Spirit wants us to live. Sometimes we're out of touch. Paul says this about himself in another passage. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I know I shouldn't be doing, I find myself doing them. So it's kind of Paul saying, I know that the right hand has to go up next, but I'm putting up the left hand or the right foot, and I know I'm putting up the left foot. I'm not in sync with what God wants. And that's how we live our lives as well. If you're honest, you'll probably say the same with me as well. We find times when our lives are not in sync with what God wants. When we are not completely in sync with how we should be living. But the question then is, how do we know if we are in sync with the Spirit? How does such a life look? Paul gives us an answer. Paul says, if you're actually walking in sync with the Spirit, this is what will happen. Others will see it. Because it will produce fruit. And so therefore he says, this is what a life of walking with the Spirit looks like. In verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And when you look at this, first thing you should notice is the fact that Paul's speaking about one fruit of the Spirit. We had a whole series on this fruit before, but let me just remind you of what Paul is saying. Paul's saying that it's not a selection of things that you can choose. Paul's not saying, here are nine things and you can pick and choose the ones that you like. You might think that you can do well in love and joy and peace, but patience, yeah, that's something that just a character flaw you might have, so don't focus on that. That's not how the Spirit works. When the Holy Spirit works in your heart, and when you walk in sync, in step with Him, all these things need to show because it's one fruit. And it's right through your whole life. So it's not just at church. It's also when you're at work tomorrow, when you are dealing with your friends at school. It's when you're just chatting to someone else. It's how you treat your parents. All these things should show that you are walking with God in life. It's not easy. Just as that guy was struggling in this marching group, it's not easy doing that. But you have to practice to do that. Freedom is found by growing this relationship with God. Now, I also shared this morning with other people that, in fact, when I was in high school, I was part of, we had cadets in school, and so I was part of a competition marching group in my last year of school, and it was really intense. We had to practice quite a lot. We practiced for 11 months before we entered the competition or had the competition. We practiced probably about an hour or so every single school day for those 11 months. During school or in breaks, lunches, and we practiced. To the end of that time, we actually went on to the tennis court to practice our marching so that we can hear whether our stepping was in step. With 30 guys, and you had to walk away where you can just hear one footstep. You had to stomp where you can just hear one footstep. So it took a lot of practice. We had to be uniform. We actually came second in the final competition because our hair wasn't cut uniform. We had two guys cut our hair, and they picked up that our hair was cut slightly different. And so we lost marks because of that. But it was fun. It was really fun. We had to walk. We had to polish our shoes, and we had to walk to the competition with our shoes or with stockings over our feet so that no dust can fall on your shoes. So really intense competition. And I thought I'd just share that because I know what it means and how much it takes to really be in sync with other people. It doesn't come easily. It takes a lot of practice and it takes a lot of work to do that. And it's the same in our life of faith as well. We might find that we are out of sync with the Spirit in some ways. We might find that with the fruit of the Spirit, we are bearing some parts of it more than others. We need to work on our patience, or we need to work on our self-control, or our joy, or whatever it might be. But the fact of the matter is that we need to work on those things. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just take charge of who we are and rule our lives and take control of who we are and make us like robots or a puppet in God's hand. There is also responsibility that we need to take on as we walk this life with the Holy Spirit. Reminded me of a great wise person saying to Peter Park, "With great power comes great responsibility." Seen that in the Spider-Man movies? He says that. And it reminded me of the fact that I think this also says to us, with great freedom comes great responsibility. God has set us free. We have freedom. We have salvation. But we need to take that on and we need to walk the life with the Spirit. And as we need to grow, we need to work on those things. And so another commentator says about this struggle in our lives, John Stott writes, "But the flesh and the Spirit remain, and the conflict between them is fierce and unremitting. Indeed, one may go further and say that this is a specifically Christian conflict. We do not deny that there is such a thing as moral conflict in non-Christian people, but we assert that it is fiercer in Christians because they possess two natures, flesh and spirit, in irreconcilable antagonism." We'll always live with this in our lives. Flesh and spirit. The desires to be out of sync with God and His Spirit. But the truth is, God calls us to work on that and be in step with the Spirit as much as we can. It's an everlasting process. But keep on working and practicing that in your lives too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the Holy Spirit. You gave us your Son to bring salvation to us. And you also gave us your Spirit to bring faith into our hearts and to lead us as we live our lives, to guide us, to walk with us. We pray, Lord, you'll help us be in sync with Him. That we will think about the things we do and think about the things we think, and that our actions will be in sync with your will. Lord God, where this still needs work and in all our lives it will be true, Lord, I pray that you'll help us so that we will practice this more, that we will grow in our faith so that we can truly find freedom and have the freedom to grow, becoming what you want us to be, becoming more Christ-like in our lives too. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us bear the fruit of the Spirit, that others will see in us that we are walking with the Spirit in life, that we will show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May that fruit grow even bigger as we continue on in life. Amen.